Good morning, everybody. It is 3 minutes after 10 o'clock as we get the handoff today. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Ray, always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Glenn.
We are here for the next 3 hours. By the way, best caller of the day wins a $50 gift certificate to Scheib Sports, 215-592-9494. And Ray, you know, always at 11, we do a Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, last week we had the Dr. J. Bird fight.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, another good one this week. I promise. People are going to really like this, and you're going to have a lot to say. Ray Dinger went to the movies. We're going to get Ray's review of the latest James Bond film coming up at 11:20. And, Ray, I'll let you tee it up. Terrific. Tell us your story guest today.
Very popular figure here in Philadelphia, both as a player and later as a broadcaster, Stan Walters, who played 12 seasons in the NFL, was a starter and a really key contributor to the Eagles' first Super Bowl team back in 1980. And then after he retired, went up to the booth, sat next to Merle Reese for 14 years.
Loved him.
And
I loved Stan doing those games.
And Stan was great in that role, too. So a lot of really good memories and a lot of good conversation with Stan Walters coming up today at noon.
And by the way, just to tease, next weekend we expect to have Jim Gardner, who formally announced his I guess he announced his retirement. He said he's going to, as of 2022, give up the 11 o'clock host duties and just do the 6 o'clock, and then it's going to retire after that. He will be our Tell Us Your Story guest next week.
But certainly looking forward to that.
Absolutely. That's going to be a huge one. But, Ray, this is a week. I want to start by focusing on defense. And, Ray, we're going to open the show with some math for you, Ray.
Okay.
All right.
That was never my strong suit.
I want you to take out your yellow legal pad.
I have it.
And number two pencil.
Okay.
Currently, Ray, the Philadelphia Eagles have allowed opposition quarterbacks to complete 75.5% of their passes so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Five of their opponents have completed more than 80% of their passes.
Mm-hmm.
What was Herbert? 32 for 38 last week, I think? Something like that.
I think that's pretty close, okay. Yes. I have the play-by-play right here. He was 32 for 38.
Yeah, there you go.
356 yards.
Yeah. Tomorrow, they face Teddy Bridgewater, who has completed 70.2% of his passes. Without even facing the Eagles, he's reached that number.
Correct.
Trailing only Kyler Murray in accuracy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ray, under the Pythagorean rules of Isaac Newton,
mm-hmm,
taking those two numbers, is it possible that Teddy Bridgewater will complete more than 100% of his passes?
Can't do that. Could crack 90 though. He could be hitting in the 90s.
Ray, the thing is, they are on pace. Well, the all-time record for accuracy by a quarterback in a season was Drew Brees in 2018, 74.4%.
Yeah, I think the first guy to ever go over 70 in a season was Steve Young, the year that he quarterbacked the 49ers and they went on and won the whole thing. He's the first one I can remember that hit the magic 70.
So the Eagles are on pace, Ray, to basically have a defense that with a percentage higher than the NFL record.
Yes. They're on pace to do that.
All right. I want to play a cut by a close personal friend of yours. This is Joe Banner.
Okay.
Who was on with John Clark. John Clark does a very good podcast every week. And he had Joe Banner this week, and they talked about a lot of things. But this is Joe Banner talking about the Eagles' pass defense. Let's play that.
He was as highly sought after as anybody who's never been a coordinator before that I've seen in a long time. So he is a highly thought of guy. He's very smart. He's very hardworking. I'm kind of baffled as to why things have gone as they are. Clearly, there's a contribution from the talent perspective, but I also think he could be doing more with the talent that he has. And based on how highly acclaimed he was and people that I know and really respect who've actually worked with him and know him, like him, talk about how smart he is, I'm hoping it's more of a time. He just needs time to get into the role, get a little more comfortable. Maybe they do need to get more personnel that fits exactly what he does, not just good personnel, but actually fits. But I am somewhat surprised that we're watching what we are. I mean, it should be impossible to complete 80% of passes in an NFL game.
It should be impossible to complete 80% of your passes in an NFL game. And by the way, I didn't tee that up all that well. Obviously, he's talking about Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles' defensive coordinator. So, Ray Dinger, a nation turns its lonely eyes to you. It's tissue paper coverage here. It's hard to watch. It's not fun to watch, Ray.
No.
people who grew up in this town on Jim Johnson or Bud Carson, or I'll invoke Buddy Ryan, have to hate this defense.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do. Well, you've been hearing it all week on the radio station.
Yes, yes. And this is our last chance before tomorrow you and I are on, and the whole day is a preview to Denver. Ray, what's happening here? Explain how this appears to be their plan.
It's philosophical. It's what Gannon believes in. It's he's a don't give up the big play guy. And this is what passes for forward thinking in today's NFL among young coaches. It's don't give up the big play. Don't give up the 60-yard touchdown. Make them work their way down the field. Because we absolutely know, that if you make them drive the field in 12 plays, 14 plays, 15-play drives, that somewhere along the line, they're going to screw up. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be a drop snap. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be a holding penalty. There's going to be a drop pass. And
no, that's your offense.
Well, yeah, but this is the thinking.
Yeah.
This is the thinking that, you know, nobody has long drives in the NFL anymore. You make them work the ball up the field slowly, and you assume it's somewhere along the line, something's going to happen. It's going to stop the drive, and you're going to get back. What gets you beat are the 60-yard plays over the top.
I see. Okay. Problem is the Eagles are 24th in the league in turnovers, which would factor into that equation. Remember all that time during training camp that they put a big emphasis, we're going to punch out the ball?
Yep.
Yeah, when does that start, right?
It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And the other part of that is I don't really subscribe to that theory, to be honest with you. But
no,
okay.
I'm sure you don't.
But I will grant you this much, that it can work if your team is just absolutely rock solid in the red zone. If a team can move the ball down the field, but if they get to the 20-yard line, you lock them down. You know, okay, they'll kick a field goal and get three, but they're not going to get seven. Well, the Eagles are compounding the problem by letting teams move the ball down the field, and they're also not very good in the red zone. They're 27th in the league stopping teams inside the 20. So basically, you're not stopping anything is kind of what we're saying right here. And I agree that this – nobody's going to confuse the Eagles' personnel defensively with the Steel Curtain. This is not the 70s Pittsburgh Steelers or the 80s Bears. Nobody's going to say that. But if you're the coach, you have to figure out a way to do more with what you got than what you're doing right now.
Well, I want to play a couple by safety Rodney McLeod, who talked this week about how Gannon and the defensive personnel are kind of figuring each other out. Here you go.
I think, you know, JG's starting to figure out, you know, who we are, you know, what we're trying, who we're trying to be, and the players that he has, and trying to match the defense with, you know, some of our strengths. So that's part of it, man. It's all growing. We're all growing together, and still trying to understand one another. So I would just say that's one way.
You know what I hear there? I hear a guy who doesn't want to rip his coach.
Right. Oh, sure.
Who doesn't believe in it at all, who's been around this league, been a successful player with the Eagles, Super Bowl champion, and doesn't believe any of what's going on, but doesn't want to rip his coach.
Right.
Because they're not figuring it out. The Chargers held the ball for the last 6 minutes and 30 seconds and could have held it for 20 minutes. You know what I was reminded of as they were going down the field in no particular hurry?
The end of the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, where Brady just said, like, okay, you know what? You're not getting the ball back. I'm just going to move it down the field, and you guys are out of luck. And it the end of the San Diego, the end of the Chargers game was that drip, drip, drip.
Yeah.
With the inevitable end of them kicking a field goal as time ran
out. It was excruciating.
Yeah.
You just watched them pick up, you know, 5 yards, 6 yards, 9 yards, 4 yards, and you're just sitting there. You're looking at the clock, and you're saying, "I know exactly how this is going to end. They're just going to walk it down the field, and with 2 seconds left on the clock, they're going to kick the game-winning field goal." And you saw it coming from the minute they got the ball, and the defense did nothing. Nothing to stop them.
Now, we can break down the various elements of the defense, right? The secondary's not good. The linebackers were never terrible. The defensive line, to me, has been the huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got nothing out of Fletcher Cox all year. By the way, he is now, I know this means nothing to you, but he is responding and reacting to trolls on Twitter with angry threats of, yeah, come and meet me where I work. I'll beat you up.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
That's never helpful. No, that's not good. Hargrave was great, like, the first five games, and then he's been invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that gets me the maddest, of course, is Derek Barnett, a wasted first-round pick. Now, I don't expect Jonathan Gannon to publicly rip his guys, but
right.
he was asked earlier this week about Derek Barnett. Ray, you know what? I'm going to try this on you first.
Uh-huh.
Coach Didinger, Derek Barnett got another dumb penalty. Doesn't appear to be helping much. What do you see out there?
I'm seeing a guy who contributes very little in a positive way.
No, no, you're the coach. I'm asking you as the coach. Oh, that's you would say that as a coach?
No.
No, I'm asking you. I'm sorry. I want you to role play here.
Uh-huh.
Because what you just said, like, yeah, we know that. I want you. You're Jonathan Gannon, okay?
Right.
All right, what do you see out there?
Given great effort.
Right. I was going to say working hard, right?
Does, you know, makes plays that people don't see. Does a lot of stuff that doesn't show up in the stats.
Okay.
How's that? How's that for coach speak?
Well, let's see. Here's what Jonathan Gannon said when he was asked about Derek Barnett.
You know, he's doing a good job. He's improved that part of his game, I think. He's playing, I would say, more disciplined with what we're asking him to do with the penalties thing. I'm very happy with Derek. You know, no one's going to be more harder on him than himself. But it's just to, you know, lock in and make sure that we don't have pre-snap penalties and keep doing what he's doing because he's doing a good job in the running pass game.
He's doing a good job, Ray, and he's playing with more discipline. Now, correct me if I saw this wrong, but there was a drive late in the game. I forget what the down and distance were, but I know it was less than 5 yards because I know it meant a first down.
It was third and six.
It didn't mean a first down then. Okay, excuse me. Yeah, but they ended up getting the first down. And you could see as he jumped off sides and ran through the backfield, you could see Cox and Hargrave kind of put their heads on the ground and go like, oh, this jackass again.
Mm-hmm.
Discouraging the whole defense.
Right.
As I said, wasted first-round pick.
Third and six is a big play. Third and six is, you know, you got a chance to get a stop there. And he single-handedly turned third and six into third and quarterback sneak. Mm-hmm. You know, they snuck the next play. They got the first down. They kept the drive going.
Okay. So one more question. I'm sneaking a phone call or two here. A big debate this week was initially, like, Jonathan Gannon is terrible. He should be fired. You can't fire him during the middle of the season. People have to realize that. That's just silly talk. But
he was fired an offensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
Dana Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Pulled the plug on him at midseason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think you have anybody here to replace him, but you're right. There is precedent.
Kept him on the staff and never really announced to anybody that they made the change, but they made the change internally.
Yeah, okay. Well, regardless. But
the question is, if you take the play sheet away from him, who do you hand it
well,
to?
Well, right. Who? What 25-year-old do you have there in the coaching room who's ready to go?
Right.
But the big debate this week was, does Jonathan Gannon actually stink as a coach, or is it the fault of the personnel that has been given to him by Howie Roseman?
Right.
Or C, both things can be true.
Yeah, both things can be true.
That's what I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't defend Jonathan Gannon because the players aren't good, because his scheme doesn't seem to help anything that they can do.
No.
Playing your corners 10 yards deep on third and five doesn't appear to be a smart move.
No. No. Especially when you're playing against a young quarterback like Justin Herbert, who is a 100% pre-snap read quarterback. You know, if he walks up the line of scrimmage and he sees the corners playing where they're playing, and they're giving up 8-9 yard cushion, he knows where he's going with the ball before he even gets it. It's just, you know, okay, ball's, you know, I'm taking a snap and I'm throwing that 8 yard out and I'm going to take that all day long. You got to be able to take that away at some point. And after the game, Nick Sirianni said, the question was brought up about this ridiculous pass coverage and the ridiculous volume of completions that opposing quarterbacks are getting, and Nick said, yeah, we probably need to tighten up a little bit. We probably need to do some things over there.
Yeah,
you know, don't come to that realization after the game
right.
when you've lost. How about at halftime?
Yes.
How about at halftime when Herbert is 15 for 18 at halftime?
Yeah. All right, let me get a call in here. Warren in Gwynedd Valley wants to talk about that defense and the quarterback they face tomorrow. Teddy Bridgewater, Warren.
I am very excited for this game. I guess you guys are too. And I want to preface this on, would you both agree that the season would end tomorrow if the Eagles do not have a win?
Are you talking about in terms of playoff hopes?
Yes.
I don't have playoff hopes anyway, but if you want to talk about nailing the coffin of said playoff hopes, sure.
Okay, I just figured you both agree with that. And I wanted to preface my second statement on that on any given football game on any given Sunday, as the saying goes, that any team has the potential to win, which I believe that the Eagles do, based on the way the other teams have been playing and virtually not being able to establish themselves as favorites, because the league seems rather wide open so far this year. And I was thinking about the Eagles with their opening game in Atlanta, which I think is the only game they've had this year where they've actually carried the lead from the start to the finish. And the defense actually seemed to be a real defense. And my point being to Jonathan Gannon that if he is going to not change and not do what Nick Sirianni claims, where they're putting the players in the correct position to win, that neither of them should be back if they repeat their continued mistakes.
I would find it, and thanks for the call, I would find it surprising if they were one and done, but Ray, certainly not unique. We went through this a couple weeks ago and looked around the league, and I think there have been something like 9 coaches in the last 12 years who were one and done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't foresee it. I don't foresee it. I think the back end of the schedule is going to save them.
Yeah.
You know, I think they got so many lousy teams in December that they'll find their way to win enough games that it's going to stave off that kind of a move, where you're just going to blow everybody out after 1 year. I mean, they'll win enough games in their division that it ain't going to take you to the playoffs, and it's not going to get you over 500 because that ship's already sailed. But I think there'll be enough. They'll be able to win enough games down the stretch against the lesser competition that it won't cause that kind of a house cleaning at the end of the year.
So my thought going into the season, I think yours was as well, that we didn't have high expectations but wanted them to be better in December than they were in September, right? We wanted to see, like with Andy Reid's first year, that this is a team that improved along the way.
Mm-hmm.
What I infer from what you say is they can't avoid that. It's got to happen because you play the Jets and the Giants and the Washington and some bad teams, and so therefore, you're just going to be better.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to play out.
Could be a big illusion.
Yeah, the NFC East is still the NFC East, and you know, the Denver Broncos are going for a sweep of the NFC East tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They've already beaten Washington. They already beat the Giants. Last week, they shocked me certainly, and I think most of the world, by blowing out the Cowboys in Dallas.
Unbelievable. They're up 30-0.
Up 30-0 with 4 minutes to go, and you know, Cowboys get a couple in garbage time, but it's a 30-0 game in the fourth quarter. So they're 3-0 against the NFC East, and they're going for the sweep tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. 215-592-9494.
Tells you more about the division than it does about the Broncos.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, because the Broncos are
five and four overall.
5-4, so you take that away, so they're 2-4 without the NFC East.
Right.
Yeah. 215-592-9494, best caller of the day, as we said, wins the Scheib Sports $50 gift certificate. Ray, coming up next is a part, maybe the most exciting element of the show, Stupid Bet Update. Gotta look forward to that. Ray and Glenn brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. We're here at the 1937 Brewing Company, locally crafted IPA, stouts, lagers, and more, right here at the 1937 Brewery inside Delaware Park, online at DelawarePark.com. Hey, fall is upon us. I saw the forecast. It is going to be cold in the next week, meaning that you ought to consider replacing your old drafty windows and doors before that cold winter weather rolls in. When I need a company to help me with these projects, I always turn to the experts, the great people at Guided Door and Window. Act now. You receive 20% off all windows and doors. Plus, Guided is going to allow you to start your project today with no money out of pocket. Take up to 3 weeks to pay it off interest-free when that job is expertly installed. Let's review. You start enjoying all the benefits of new, highly energy-efficient windows and doors, including an increased comfort level in your home. You get lower monthly energy bills. You take advantage of 20% savings, and you have the luxury of paying off the project with 0% interest for up to 36 months. Great deal. You got to act now. Offers for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Guida today. Schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA. or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com. Right into Glenn Mack now. All right, Ray, I want to flip. No, not yet. I don't. Excuse me. I want to talk about something very important. Mm-hmm. You and I have a stupid bet this year. Why don't you explain what it is?
We bet on the Eagles Australian punter. We've done this before, and it worked out very well for me, but if Sippas can punts inside the 20-yard line, the punt is if the bet is 20, the 20 for 20 bet.
Yeah.
The bet is 20 punts inside the 20-yard line.
Yeah.
If he hits 20 or more, you win the bet.
Yeah. The other team's drive has to start inside the 20, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And the kids, I like him. I think he's a good punter. But nonetheless, it's not going all that well for me. But allow me to take you to last Sunday, the first drive of the game. It stalls at the Eagles' 45-yard line, 4th and 5. Now, you thought maybe this young coach is going to show some guts by going for it early in the game.
I was hoping so.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
It's disappointing. Big Balls Doug would do it. This guy, not happening. Anyway.
A lot of guys in the NFL doing it. It's actually more common than not.
I know that.
You get to midfield, and you got 4th and 4, 4th and 5. Teams are going for it all the time.
Yeah, well, this guy doesn't have that faith in his offense. Yeah.
Not Nicky Poo, that's for sure.
So in comes Aaron Sippas, and here you go.
Here is the punt. It is end over end. Andre Roberts watches it as it bounces and is down by the Eagles at the 2. Wow. Great punt by Sippas. 43-yard punt.
That was his 9th in 9 games. I had another 57 minutes to get more, and it never happened again.
Now that is correct.
So I'm at 9 in 9 games. The pace there is not in my favor, Ray.
That's okay. All he needs is, you know, and the way this coach coaches, he's going to be getting his chances because, you know, he won't go for it around midfield. And so your guy's going to have a lot of opportunities the second half of the year, I think.
Yeah, well, I hope so. We'll see. We shall see.
I'll tell you, this guy's good at killing that ball, though. I mean,
he is.
Because the ball hit, like, at about the 3, and most of the times things will bounce right into the end zone. Not this guy.
Yeah.
He backspins him.
Special teams MVP. Not that there's a lot of competition on this team for that, but he is. One other update I want to give you, Ray. The last fan standing pool, which started the season with 10,000 people. Ray, you recall 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was getting pretty nervous.
Yes, you were.
There were no upsets. What am I going to do? The reason I need people to get out is not because I'm mean. It's because I can only have one winner, so I need people to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple weeks, it happened, and last weekend, big upsets in the NFL meant many people were ordered out of the pool.
I realize last week, at 13 games, in 7 of the 13 games, the underdog won.
That is correct. Losers included the Bills to Jacksonville.
Yep.
What? The Cowboys, which we discussed, the Saints lost to Atlanta, and the Raiders lost for Miami. And that knocked out 729 people. So after 9 weeks, the 10,000 hopefuls have shrunk to 782, going for that beautiful ring from Mark's Jewelers.
Okay.
So I got 782 with 9 weeks. It is mid-season of the NFL, counting the bye weeks, because there's 18 weeks. So I'm in decent shape.
Yeah, it's a crazy year in the NFL. I mean, I don't know right now. I don't know if I could tell you who the best team is.
Yeah,
I really don't.
It's not the Bills the last 2 weeks.
No. I mean, you look around the league, it seems like everybody
Arizona? Yeah.
It seems like everybody has 5 wins. I mean, it seems like everybody in the league is 5-4.
Not everybody.
Including the team the Eagles are playing tomorrow. They're 5-4. But you look around, I mean, it's 5-4, 5-3 everywhere you look.
Yeah, well, not in this town. Okay. I want to talk about the Eagles offense before we go back to the phones here because it's kind of good news, certainly in the last 2 weeks. Ray, the running game has been tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Chargers, the Eagles went 8-12 on third down. They had 176 rushing yards. They had no turnovers. Miles Sanders is out, and yet with Jordan Howard and Boston Scott and Jalen Hurts is a huge part of it, they're running the ball. I picture Ray Didinger and Seth Joyner over at the NBC Sports Philadelphia headquarters kind of doing a dance around the table as this occurs. Am I correct?
Until the other team gets the ball.
Well, yeah, I'm saying when the Eagles are on offense, I see you and Sid a little do-si-do.
Glad to see it. I mean, Lord knows I've been calling for it all year, is the willingness to run the football, especially just don't ask Jalen Hurts to be the whole show. You know, yep. Give him a chance to function within a complete offense. You know, your offensive line, and if anybody's been paying the least a little bit of attention the last couple weeks, you see this offensive line, even with some backups playing, can really run block. I mean, it's a really good run-blocking line, and credit to Jeff Stoutland for bringing them along. But they're run-blocking very effectively, and bringing Jordan Howard back onto the active roster has made a big difference. And Boston Scott has made a significant contribution. So
I love watching him play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not quite Sproles, but he's Sproles-ish.
Sproles-ish. He's not.
Yeah, I know. But I like a little guy with thick legs running, you know, through the middle there.
Yeah, and
little power guy.
And he does that well.
Yeah.
And he does that well. So they can certainly run the ball. Well, now, you have to, and even I will temper this by saying they've gone up the last couple weeks against teams that don't have very good run defenses.
Yeah, and Denver is, I think, sixth or eighth in the league against
them. Yeah, and Denver's run defense is certainly better than the Chargers. And you can see that other things in the offense fall into place when you can run the ball. And you can see that Jalen Hurts, they're putting him under center some. And he's been able to hand the ball off and get the running game going. But it also sets up real play action,
yes.
You know, where he can fake a handoff, drop back, actually stand in the pocket and throw the ball down the field. And he does it very well.
Yep.
I mean, last week I did a breakdown after the game where I broke down plays with him under center versus plays with him in shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly he was in a shotgun more, but he was under center more than he had been in any other game to that point. And they averaged almost 8 yards per snap when he was under center. And he was 3 for 3 throwing the ball. So the running game with him under center isn't just about the run. It's about the ability to set up a better and more efficient passing game, too. The two really do go hand in hand.
They really do go hand in hand. And listen, the RPO has its place, and we've seen it done successfully in this town with several quarterbacks, and I like it fine, but if it's all you do, it doesn't present any challenge. Now you have a bit of a flexible offense. And I will give the head coach credit. This is where the defensive coordinator drives us nuts, as kind of you said last time. Why don't you adjust? Why don't you change? This isn't working. Do something. Well, it may have taken 7 weeks, but I'll give a rookie head coach credit for kind of saying, okay, this isn't working. Now we're going to try that.
And right.
In the last two games, they've run the ball on 85 of 119 plays.
Right.
A split, maybe even extreme, for Ray Dinger.
It's certainly atypical of today's NFL. Although,
right.
Although teams are running the ball around the league more
this year than
in past years.
It's a thing.
Yeah, nobody's really talking about that, but I've noticed it. And the teams that are running the ball are teams that are winning generally.
Yep, how about that? All right, let's talk to John in Philadelphia. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, John.
Morning, guys. How are you today?
All right.
We're good.
Just first time caller, I just want to appreciate you guys. You guys' knowledge and objectivity is a breath of fresh air.
Oh, you're very kind.
Thank you.
What I want to say is I think that the Eagles organization is setting Jalen Hurts up for failure, and I think they're trying to break his character. I mean, they didn't name him the starter in the preseason when everybody knew he was going to be the starter. You got Howie Roseman out with pictures of binoculars scouting other quarterbacks. I just don't think, in their minds, he's the quarterback of the future. I don't know if he is either, but I will tell you that this guy is improving every game.
Okay, and I want to disagree with you, because I heard some people say what you're saying this week, and I'll disagree to this extent. Howie's job is to go and look at players for the future, right? And you said, John, you're not sure if he's the quarterback for the future, but you like the way he's trending. Well, if you're not sure if he's the quarterback of the future, presumably the team isn't sure. I think I'm with you in that I'm not ready to say he can't be, but I'm certainly not ready to say he is. So it would be remiss of Howie not to go and scout those other guys at that Pitt, North Carolina game. That's his job.
I agree with you. Well, I do agree with you on that point. But the fact that it was publicized as much as it was, it has never been publicized that much in the past.
Yeah, well, that's not Howie. That's the changing media focus. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just like I feel this has started from, you know, the preseason. I don't think this is just something that's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I really do think he's improving.
I hear you.
I think they're also trying to I think they're trying to break his spirit is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
John, thanks for the call, and call again.
No, they're not. I mean, if they wanted to break his spirit, they could sit him down and play Gardner Minshew. If breaking his spirit was their goal, they could do that tomorrow. But no, that's not it. They're kind of where the rest of us are. They're trying to figure out whether Jalen Hurts is their guy. And, you know, I know John's point was, well, during the preseason, they never came out and said he was the quarterback and he was the guy. Well, that was part of Nick Sirianni's whole message throughout the preseason, was it's all about competition, competing, competing, competing. We're competing every day. And everybody's competing for every job. Every job is up for grabs. So once he laid that out there as kind of this is the way we're doing business right now, he couldn't very well say, except a quarterback. You know, every other position is up for grabs, but Jalen Hurts is our starting quarterback, even though I think everybody knew that's where this thing was trended. It wasn't going to be Joe Flacco, that's for sure.
Right.
Gardner Minshew wasn't here. So, I mean, everybody just took it as it just took it. Obviously, he's going to be your quarterback. And so Nick didn't want to, if he wanted to really have everybody competing at every position, he wanted to give the appearance that there was competition at every position, even though in reality there wasn't.
Yeah, and the argument now that they're hurting his feelings by looking at other quarterbacks, and I have heard it, and I have heard it from hosts on this station, is to me nuts for two reasons. One, that's their job. Two, he's unproven.
Right.
I'm not ready to say he's my guy for the next 5 years.
Nor should they be.
Right. So it's like, oh, they're really undercutting his confidence by being there with binoculars. Well, what do they want him to do? Sit in the basement at the stadium?
Right. No, you got to. I mean, right now, you know, I mean, let's look at it from both sides. I mean, right now he's trending in a good way. I mean, the last couple of weeks he's played well. I mean, I thought last week he played really well. And now that the offense has begun to take on some kind of shape and some kind of definition, you can see that he's able to run this pretty effectively. So that's a good sign. You know, we talked about this whole year being about growth and about improvement. Well, you've seen both in Jalen Hurts over the last couple of weeks, so that's a good thing. But does that mean that, well, okay, case closed, he's our quarterback, he's our franchise guy for the next 10 years? No, you're not there. So you're going to let the whole thing play out, as you should, over the course of the season. But in the meantime, you got to find out, you got to gather your information on everybody else. If by the end of the year you just decide organizationally, you know what? No, he's not really a starting quarterback. He's not really the franchise guy. We're going to have to, because we got all these draft picks now, we're probably going to have to draft one. Let's have the best available information we possibly can have at that point. That's just general managers. If you're not doing that, you're not doing your job.
Right. And by the way, we just went through an episode where the last quarterback's ego was too fragile to deal with it. I don't want a quarterback. If Jalen Hurts is crushed by this, then Jalen Hurts should not be the starting quarterback. Brandon and Andy and Dan, stick around. We will get you guys coming up in a moment. Ray, I want to show you a photo on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I want you to describe what you see there.
Oh, that's big Stan Walters firing out of his stance, yeah. Getting ready to probably block, Harvey Martin,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Crush him. Yeah,
yeah, drive him back about 5 or 6 yards and open up a nice hole for Wilbert Montgomery.
First of all, these uniforms that the Eagles wore back in the days, it's the 80 era. I don't know if it's 1980. The Kelly greens with the silver wings and the silver stripes on the arm. I love those uniforms.
Yeah,
That is a great uniform.
Yeah.
And second of all, Stan looks angry and ready to hit somebody.
He certainly does.
This is the one I put up to publicize that we're having. He is our guest. Tell us your story at noon. Coming up next, oh, the Ray Dittinger College Football Preview. Good games today, Ray?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about those. And you will give us what you thought of that Pitt, North Carolina.
Yes, I'm going to give you a scouting report.
There you go. 215-592-9494. Ray and Glenn, brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play.
If you're a serious Philadelphia sports fan, you need to check out my friends at Scheib Vintage Sports. They're your home for throwback Eagles apparel. Now, locally owned, Scheib carries name brands as well as original designs by Philadelphia artists. So if you're thinking about the 1960 championship, you're thinking about Franklin Field, the Bounty Bowl, those Kelly Green uniforms Glenn was just talking about, the next time you need some new gear before an Eagles game or you're looking for that perfect gift, head to Scheib Vintage Sports. Visit them at 13th and Walnut in Center City or at scheibsports.com. And remember, tell them that Ray sent you, and you will get 15% off.
Ray Dittinger, Glenn Mack now, Saturday, 94 WIP. Hey, Ray, thank you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Bills fan. Go Bills. Starting tomorrow, Ray, we are giving away tickets to the play that I'm going to be in. Anything goes at the Players Club of Swarthmore. Free tickets tomorrow, Ray.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll be giving those out. But right now, it's Saturday. It's the fall. The leaves are on the ground. It's time for the Ray Dinger College Football Preview.
Well, what you hear in the background is the Oklahoma University marching band. You're
love that drum line, Ray.
Going to have a little Boomer Sooner action going behind us because the Oklahoma Sooners right now are undefeated. Undefeated, but with a lot of questions still to be answered by this team. You look at, there's Boomer Sooner. Every time I hear that, I think of Tommy McDonald. Can't help it. And that is one of the great fight songs in college football. And the Oklahoma Sooners and the fans have had a lot to cheer about. They are 9-0 at the moment. But frankly, their schedule has been pretty soft to this point. And there are a lot of questions to be asked about this team and a lot that they still have to prove. Now, you figure an undefeated team with the profile of Oklahoma, you would think that they're a lock to go to the Final Four. Not really. Their schedule really works against them. And they've had some narrow escapes against some not particularly great teams. I mean, they were behind Kansas, for God's sakes, had to come back in the second half to beat Kansas. They gave up 48 points to Texas, but won it because they scored 55. They struggled. They only won by a touchdown against Kansas State. I mean, they've kept winning, but they haven't won impressively against what's kind of mediocre competition. And now, starting today, the competition gets a lot tougher. Today they have to play 13th-ranked Baylor. And Baylor is 7-2, and Baylor's pretty good. And they have to play them at Baylor. So this is going to be the first, I hate to say real test for the Sooners, but it kind of is. And after Baylor, they have to play Iowa State, who are 6-3. And then they finish up their regular season at Oklahoma State. They have to go to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State, who's number 10 in the country and is 8-1. So Oklahoma really hasn't had a big win to this point. So everybody's kind of asking questions about how good they are. The next 3 weeks, starting today, we'll find out how good Oklahoma is. If they can complete this, then there's no question they're going to be one of the Final Four teams. But there's real question about whether they can get through it.
All right, Ray, I want to go to the game that people have discussed, the Howie Roseman in binoculars game, which you know is going to become a internet meme soon enough. There were two quarterbacks there that people were looking at, Pitt, North Carolina. We've discussed them a little bit. Any changes in your mind? What are we seeing right now?
No, it was a good game, and Pitt wins it at home in overtime. And I kind of went into it thinking one thing and came out thinking the same thing. I mean, Sam Howell, the quarterback in North Carolina, came into this year, was very highly thought of. A lot of people thought that he was going to be the best quarterback coming out in this draft, be a high first-round pick. And he's had a very, disappointing final year. There's no question about that. Whereas Kenny Pickett, the quarterback from Pittsburgh, is a bit of a surprise. I mean, nobody was really talking about him at the beginning of the year. Just like most people don't really talk a whole lot about Pitt football anymore. It's been a while. But Pickett has played really well, and he's actually worked his way into the Heisman conversation. I mean, he's been really good. And he didn't hurt his cause on Thursday night's game against North Carolina. I mean, he played pretty well. And if you look at the two, and there were more than 30 scouts, general managers and scouts.
Mike Mayock's there, Rick Spielman of the Vikings, GMs all over the place, Kevin Colbert of the Steelers, George Patton.
They were all there.
The Broncos.
Yeah, they were all there and looking really at the quarterbacks. There's no question. They're looking at Howell and they're looking at Pickett. And, you know, Howell had his moments, but he got sacked a lot and he's not getting a whole lot of help. His offensive line is not very good. But I thought Pickett was really good the whole game. He had one interception that was really the fault of the receiver, bounced off his hands, turned into a pick. But Pickett, I thought, was really good, and then they get to overtime, and he throws the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime. And if you just look at them, if you're just looking at them as those guys are looking at them as NFL projections, how do you project this guy to the next level? To me, I like Pickett a lot better. He's bigger. He's 6'3", whereas Howell's just a shade over 6 feet tall. He's got a really good arm, and you know, he is your classic pocket quarterback. I mean, if that's the way you want to run your offense with a quarterback, a big quarterback that stands in the pocket and throws the football, you know, Kenny Pickett's your guy, and he certainly didn't hurt his cause in this game. And next week, they've got one more game to play, It's at home against Virginia. It'll be his final game at Heinz Field. And if they win that, they're probably going to wind up playing for the ACC championship.
So, Ray, you know, all the talk is it's not a great quarterback draft. The Eagles, have to decide on Jalen Hurts. But if you don't like Jalen Hurts, do you trade everything and go to a quarterback? As it stands now, Ray, the Eagles currently have the sixth pick of the draft, Miami. Although, you know what? I think I got this before Miami's win the other night against the Ravens. What? But let's just say they get the sixth pick. The seventh pick currently is theirs, which may move, and the 14th, which is Indianapolis's. Is there – you're not going to trade all those picks to get up to the top of the draft, but is there a quarterback that you would say, you know what, middle of the first round, this guy would fit well here?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
I don't
right, – no, no is a perfectly acceptable answer.
I mean, somebody will go just because quarterbacks always go somewhere, and they generally – more than any other position, you get overdrafted at quarterback because everybody needs them. Everybody's looking for them. But – no, I don't see a Burrow. I don't see a Lawrence. I don't see a Herbert. I don't see anybody even close to them in this class. I'm liking Pickett the more I see him, but I'm still not sure I would say he was a first-round talent.
All right, good. Good stuff, Ray. Thank you very much. Brandon in Brookhaven, you're on with Ray and Glenn. How you doing?
Let's go Flyers.
Oh, guys, hey, Ray. Yeah, go ahead. You go first. I'm sorry.
They are playing wonderful. I love it, except for that game against Toronto. The goalies are great. Hunters. I don't know what to say. We have a Philadelphia. We have a good coach. We have a good GM. This is a fun team to watch. Get excited for this instead of all the drama elsewhere.
Well, I don't know about this instead, but let's work the Flyers in. I had them on the agenda for later in the show, but you brought them up. And, Ray, the offense has really stalled the last couple games, but last night they played one of the better teams in the league, Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter Hart looks, Ray, knock on wood, like he's completely past all the stuff from last year.
He played really good last night. There's no question about that. I mean, you got to hand that win to him. I mean, they got outshot badly through the first two periods, and he kept them in it. Kept them in it long enough. The two goals in the third period were able to win it. That's the kind of game that you were expecting from this kid.
You know what? Hold on a second, Brandon. I believe I may need to hear a little bit of Carter Hart. Moshe, I hope I'm not catching you by surprise. Let's see if we can get a little Carter Hart from last night.
And then they battle behind the net. And the Canes win the battle and clear it all. And then out of the net. And then they battle behind. Save! And then they battle behind the net.
All right, well. Apparently, the battle behind the net went on for extended period.
Yeah, they were really battling behind the net, weren't they?
Anyway, no, Brandon, I think you got a great point. You know, typically people don't get excited about hockey this early in this town because it's football season. But I am liking what I'm seeing. And to me, as we said this going into the year, so much of it is on the goalie. Even the backup goalie is playing really well, too.
Yes.
But... you know, maybe last year with Carter Hart it was the COVID year and it was the short season and it was all weird and now he's...
It was the defense in front of him as much as anything.
Well, yeah, that too.
The defense was horrible.
Yes, it was. Good point, Ray. Andy in Huntington Valley, you're on with Ray and Glenn.
Hey, guys, I'll get you off speaker in two seconds.
Please do.
Yep.
Hey. Hey, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
We're good.
So, Eagles defense... you know, if the coach isn't up to snuff, I think there's enough veterans on that team that could pull them aside and say, listen, here's what we should do. It's a matter of respect. I think, you know, Fletcher needs to really, you know, he can't earn his money by playing his normal position. At least step up and be the guy. And I know he had conversations with Gannon,
but
there's enough guys there that they know how to play defense. It's not that hard to fix.
Andy, tell me all the players on that defense who you would say are above average NFL starters.
Hargrave?
I don't know about that. He was the first five games. He's been invisible the last four.
Well, Fletcher historically was, but Fletcher, right. I don't know if Fletcher's kind of phoned it in.
Right, he's not. Okay.
You know, you've got...
exactly.
Well, no, but I'm saying, I mean, forget... for a minute, you know, the NFL. These guys play football for a long time. Coming a little closer on your, you know, in the secondary and not giving a wide receiver 15 yards would help. Blitzing once in a while might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, well,
I can't
listen,
imagine.
I agree with some of what you say. They blitzed last week. I saw the stats. I don't remember
first
exactly
half.
What it was.
First half they blitzed.
Yeah, but they never got to the quarterback.
Right.
The blitz was – they blitzed, but you have guys who either can't blitz or they're poorly conceived blitzes.
Yeah, they're just not very good at it. I mean, you can send guys, but if they can't get to the quarterback, it's not doing you any good. And they don't have those guys. I mean, it's not – people say blitz. You got to know how to blitz to be effective. You have guys that don't know how to blitz, so it's not going to help. I mean, that's, you know, Brian, everybody thinks when you say blitz, you're thinking Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins was great at it.
Yeah.
Among many other things. I mean, yeah. he had an instinct and he had a timing and he had an ability to, you know, to get from point A to point B with incredible acceleration. He was great at it. He was great at everything, but blitzing was one of the best things he did, but not everybody's Brian Dawkins. You know, you got a lot of guys back there that just aren't that good at it. I mean, you see it when he sent blitzes in the first half. He really did. He tried a lot of stuff. But you know, none of your linebackers, none of these linebackers can blitz. They don't know how to do it.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. Because he said, you know, you got guys on this team. They're good players. Just tell the coach what to do. Well, they may be having those conversations. We do know that Cox and Gannon tried to have a meeting of the minds. I don't know how it went. Who on this defense would you say right now, Ray, is an above-average NFL player, starter?
Hargrave and Slay.
Okay. I'll give you that. That's 2 out of 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, and none of these guys have the stature of what you're talking about. They can go to the coach and say, hey, we got to do this and we got to do that. But you got a lot of other assistant coach. You got a lot of other coaches on that staff, and it doesn't necessarily have to just be on that side of the ball. They can take Gannon aside and say, you know, we got to, you know, look, we got to change. What we're doing now just doesn't work. And, you know, you've had Cox and Hargrave to a lesser extent last week sort of in their press comments indicated it. Cox pretty strongly, Hargrave lesser. But what they're basically saying is everybody's getting on us because we're not getting pressure on the quarterback. If we don't get the support from the back end of the defense, if those guys are just going to give away the 8-yard square out, and the ball can comes out in the second half, what the heck you want us to do?
Yeah.
You know, the front of the defense has to work in harmony with the back of the defense. And the way you cover, the way you either press or don't press, absolutely affects whether or not the guys up front can get pressure on the quarterback.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack, now brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. We're here at the 1937 Brewing Company, locally crafted IPAs, stouts, lagers, and more is right here at the 1937 Brewery inside Delaware Park, online at delawarepark.com. Hey, we all want somebody to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our car. Well, that's exactly what you get at United Tire and Auto. United Tire has 12 locations in the greater Philadelphia area, all locally owned and operated. They have real conversations about the service you need, and they treat you like family. United Tire delivers value and expertise. They're offering the best prices on great brands like BF Goodrich and Michelin. You can trust you're getting back on the road. You can trust you're getting back on the road safe, whether you need new tires or an oil change. Visit UnitedTire.com to schedule your next service. Don't drive alone. Drive United.